strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. We are continuing the sprint to the primary tomorrow. One of the other important statewide races is Superintendent of Public Schools joining us right now, Republican candidate Sherry Sapir. Sherry, welcome back.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing well. Conversation quickly about the polls. Interesting poll came out on Friday that showed that you had gained dramatically in the polls and were in a dead heat with the leader in the race. How much stock do you put in those polls? How much credit do you give them?
I hear that this specific poll is supposed to be pretty accurate, so I don't know. I got to tell you, I've been pretty surprised this whole process not being ahead in the polls, because I've been everywhere in the state. I've been speaking to thousands and thousands of people, and I know the sentiment out in the streets, if you will. They're very much behind my message, so I was surprised that I wasn't ahead. And this is good. This shows that they're catching up with the will of the people. So I think we're going to do pretty well tomorrow.
We've talked. It's interesting. I know we've talked quite a few times on the air, but can you give people a little bit a background of why you decided to get into this race in the first place?
Sure. I have three young children under the age of 10, and with COVID and the shutdowns, I ended up pulling them out because the district didn't open, and that put the fire in my belly initially to fight the system. And then just the outcry and the outrage among so many parents around Arizona, and all of us coming together, talking to each other, sharing with each other the frustration, really made me feel that it's time to, instead of being keyboard warriors, just to stand up and do what's right for our children. Nobody loves our children more than we do. That's an understatement. And we have to make sure that we have people in charge that care about children, regardless of political affiliation. It has nothing to do with being a Republican or a Democrat. Our children were abused. They were neglected for 2 years now, and there's no plan in place to get them caught up. And we need somebody who cares to make sure that our children get the academic information in front of them and removed from social justice issues. And unfortunately, I don't see anybody on either party stepping up and doing what's right for the kids. And as the saying goes, if you want something done good, do it yourself. So that's where I'm at.
So let's talk about that. I read a statement you wrote recently about the amount of money, because I talked about this on the show, the amount of money that was spent nationally on some of these social justice programs. And my position has been, instead of talking about whether they're valuable or not, are they more valuable than what we're not teaching in school? Are they as valuable or more valuable than the core curriculum? And then you put this statement out about how much money was being spent. Can you describe why you made such an emphatic statement?
Because the fact of the matter is that the scores show us that the children are failing. So there's no dispute on that. The question begs, what is the reason, right? Some can say it's because of the closures and them being on Zoom. But now we're seeing that so much of the instructional time that is so valuable and so minimal when you think about it, 6 or 7 hours a day, is now spent on social justice issues that we don't have time. Whether you think it's right or wrong, what do you think it's necessary or not, as you just stated, it's not as academically important right now, especially since our children are so behind. So we don't have that kind of time to waste. And when they're spending millions and millions of dollars on curriculum that is solely focused on social justice issues and not one ounce of academic value, then we're wasting these children's time. And the day that goes by in a child's life is a day they're not getting back. The clock keeps moving, and we keep pushing them to the next grade level, and they're not prepared. And I'm against it.
So when you look at the other question that's a big question in the legislature, which I know as a superintendent, if you were to get the job, you wouldn't be in control of, but I'm curious where you stand on the issue. The state legislature has got to override an existing law by 2/3 majority in the House and the Senate once again for well over $1 billion to be able to be spent, and that's probably going to happen in the spring. What would you say to the legislature about that, and what do you think needs to happen permanently with that law? Do they need to get rid of it permanently?
I think now that the school choice movement is alive and well, and you really need to look at all the funding formulas and redo everything from scratch. Okay, right now we got the expansion of ESA, which was so important, and I'm so happy it happened. But again, it leaves behind the federal funds. It leaves behind the property tax. Then they're talking about the aggregated expenditure limits. I don't feel that we need to make any more investments in a failing system. The system needs to take a time out, just like any other business, and say, where are we failing? Where are we wasting money? Where is the corruption? Where is the mismanagement? And fix that. There is no business in the world that you throw good money after bad and it succeeds. It just doesn't happen. And to come to the taxpayers, asking them for more money, when we're not showing them any value, there's no return on investment. Our children are not brilliant. They're not learning even on the level that other countries, third world countries, are teaching. Then I don't think any money should be spent anymore. And the problem is that the money comes from the top down, and it's time to look at these formulas and this funding of this system from the bottom up. First of all, how much money the classroom needs, how much money the teachers need, and then you can go up the ladder to all the expensive remodeling, the expensive expansions, the expensive curriculum, the expensive, salaries to the administrators. But you need to start from the bottom up. And right now it's from the top to the bottom, and it never makes it to the classroom. We know it. And I think it's going to be a terrible waste of money for the taxpayers to keep doing it this way.
All right, Sherry, if people want to find out more about you, if there's some undecided voters out there between today and tomorrow, how do they find you and learn more about your campaign?
My website is sapiraz.com, sapiraz.com. Please go on my website. I tell people, we can disagree on Second Amendment. We can disagree on abortions. We cannot disagree on the well-being of our children, on their innocence and the preserving their innocence. And this is what this election is about. Let's make sure that we rally behind our children. And I know, and I promise to everybody out there, regardless of their party affiliation, that I'll do everything I can to make sure our children are safe, happy, wholesome, and successful.
Thank you, Sherry, as always. Good luck.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, that is Sherry Sapir, candidate for superintendent. Again, be an informed voter. Go to KTAR.com/Arizona Votes. All of the interview with our candidates are there. You've got a big choice to make in this race as well. Make sure you're an informed voter. We'll never tell anybody how to vote, but I think you should vote and make sure you're an informed voter.